It's Lynn Thompson here with Living on Purpose, and today is Monday, December 19th, 2022, and I'm in Chile, Ontario, and Becky Norwood, you are with Spotlight Publishing House in Goodyear, Arizona, is that right?
Yes, I am.
We've been talking about doing this conversation for months, and I'm delighted that we've both slowed down enough that we can do this.
Ta-da, we finally made it.
Welcome. And we've known each other a few years, and we're gradually getting to know each other quite well as editor and publisher.
And you are my favorite editor. I love the way you work with the authors that we work with together. I always know that they're real in super good hands when they're with you.
Well, thank you very much. And it's really a pleasure working so closely with you as a publisher. And I'm learning so much. And I certainly value your appreciation of what I'm offering the authors. It's really rewarding.
Thank you. And you always go the extra mile to make sure that they're comfortable. I know you walk them through the process. And I also know there's tears and there's joy. There's all kinds of emotions that go on. Because for an author, when they're writing from their heart and about their lives and about the things that have made them the people that they are today, there's a lot of emotion that goes into that. And you help step them through that. And that's beautiful.
Well, thank you, Becky. And yeah, it really is quite an honor and quite touching. I think sometimes that it's sort of like when I was delivering mail for 10 years, like people would say, "You're friends with the postie?" Like, and some people say, "I'm not used to this much personal attention from an editor." And I think it's partly because I've been a host on the radio show and now podcast since 2004. So it's like, 18 years, right? And I'm used to having time to really focus in on somebody when we're having a conversation, like you and I are right now. And I was an active photographer. I'm still an active photographer, but it was my solo career for a while as well. And so whatever I'm doing, I like to just really tune into the person. And, you know, the medium of the editing or the postal system or the photography, that's what gets us there. But it's just being there with each other.
You know, it's the heart behind it. We're people, and we understand that it's that connection that makes all the difference. And that's how you serve. And it doesn't matter the mechanism behind it, whether you're delivering mail or whether you're editing a book, it doesn't really matter what that is. It's the heart connection and the people connection that makes all the difference.
Yeah. And so Becky Norwood, I would say that is so much what endears you to people and what draws people to you is you're so present and you're so calm and you've just got such a warmth about you. And I'm so happy to bring people to you, and you are sending so many amazing people my way. And so coming to what you bring to it all and how you got to be where you are as a publisher and such an active participant with all these people. And I think you were editing initially, but then you realized you had to focus.
Yes.
You've written a book.
I started with my first book, which is The Woman I Love. And I've been in and hosted a number of books since then, you know, a lot of compilation type of books, written a lot of them and had a few of my own, We Choose to Thrive. But, you know, it's been a journey for me, too, because when I first started, because of the success I had with my own book becoming a number one international bestseller, people started asking me, can you help me do the same? And that's how it developed. And now I have this beautiful, thriving business, and it's exciting, and it's completely by referral. And it's just pretty amazing because, you know, I remember the years when I first started where it would be tons of networking and tons of going, trying to just make it all happen. And so I did start out editing. But now when I work with my authors, there's so much more that goes into it. There's many, many moving parts to the publishing. And I felt like at first I was doing fabulous by editing, but the busier I got, I felt like I was not doing justice to my authors because that's kind of a solo job. A lot of hands-on with the editing part. And I had gotten to the place where I was kind of skim reading instead of really, truly reading because of trying to get all the other moving parts taken care of.
And speaking of how much I'm learning about what you do, well, I don't even know what all you're doing still. let's back up a bit here, because for the person listening who maybe has a new book, and that's a lot of who we're working with is first-time authors, first-time published authors. And so for someone who doesn't really know what those moving parts would be, or is maybe just thinking of doing it self-published, which I used to think was the way to go. And now I realize that having a publisher behind you, even if you are self-publishing, so that would be a question. If you're with a publisher like you, can you self-publish with you, or are you really taking the whole thing along for them?
I have a very strong belief that an author needs to maintain control of what their heart and soul is. And that manuscript that they've written is theirs. And I don't take royalties when I work with a client. So we open the publishing accounts in their names. So it's everything to them. They get their royalties. I don't take them. I have a very strong feeling about that because I've seen so many authors come around to me that have gone traditional publishing and they've never seen a penny out of their publishing efforts. They've really have not had a really delightful, wonderful experience and not the excitement of having a book launch and doing all the things that lead up to that. I look at the authors that I work with and the conversations are centered around, what do you plan to do with this book? Are you building a business? Because a book can become that amazing door opener and open the door for new clients, new everything. So most of my authors are not just, I just want to publish a book. I just want to get a book out there. And I try to discourage people that are doing that in the sense that there are so many people publishing today that there's thousands and thousands of books getting brought on the market. And if you don't do the marketing that goes with it, it can be heartbreaking because your book will never be seen unless you're able to really talk about it, whether you're using speaking as that tool. There's just so many things that are available. So I often ask, do you have a course that goes with this? Do you have a workbook of some sort? Are you speaking? Do you have speaking engagements? Are you teaching something? So how do we tap into all of those things that you have, bring it all together and let your book be that tool that is being used to introduce the other things? Even a podcast, really a podcaster needs a good book to go with it, you know, with what they're doing. So there's many things. So the investigation is, I like to see a book be more interactive. By that, I mean, can you bring video in and use a QR code so that they scan it and hear you popped up and you're speaking and you're talking maybe a little more in depth on that chapter or giving extra little nuggets? You know, so can you use a book that way to more than tell a story?
Right there. I mean, if you're self-publishing and you're just learning it all yourself and getting it printed, then there you are with a book. So then what, you know? And I mean, look at this idea you have, and you can help them do that. I mean, they would need to record it, but you have the expertise of how to put that together with the book, right?
Absolutely. And there's one of those practices that I learned years ago when I first did my own book, and yet I kind of got away from it and then I realized it wasn't serving. So I do a process called the 10 by 10. 10 is 10 frequently asked questions that people will ask about your subject matter. And the other 10 is 10 should ask questions, but people don't know. And what I have them do is we just go into quite a bit of depth around those questions. And they're short question answer, but each one is her own video. And what that becomes is an evergreen marketing, a resource that 3 months from now they can post the same video because how many times is it going to be seen using it on social media, in their emails, in their newsletters, and even in the podcast, they can refer to it and use it as an opt-in for people. So they're building their audience. And so when people publish, the publishing houses don't let you know who's buying your book. So the key is to use every resource available to be able to build the list behind what you're doing. You know, whether it's an opt-in, we do a what we call a flip book. And a flip book is a PDF and it looks like a regular book, the page is open, But I also create their favorite three chapters with video embedded and as a sneak peek on their website. But in order to see the sneak peek of whether they're going to want to get that book, they have to leave their name and email, because that's how you build on what you're doing. Whether you just want to be an author and write many, many books, you still need to have a following for each book. So start with the first one and build on that.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And yeah, like the whole list building, and you have a lot of resources that you share with each author, right? Of how to do these different steps. And those are invaluable. And again, I think you're right that people can be disappointed. They put all this work and effort and investment into getting a book ready. And either they have nobody behind them, or they think that the publisher is going to do everything to promote it.
Yeah, and that is one of the hardest parts for me, and that's why I've started incorporating so many more aspects. Because people, especially at first, they would hire me for to publish, but then if they're not talking about their book and they're not doing the marketing, then they come back to you and say, "Well, why isn't my book selling?" "Well, you paid me to publish your book." So now I take a step back and let's go a little bit deeper. Let's see what will serve you so that this book will be still being read 50 years from now. What will serve you? Because there's just too many people publishing right now. We're still rare birds when we publish, and we're still very unusual. If you live in a busy metropolitan area and get on the freeways and thousands of cars that go zooming by, how many of them are published authors? Really, very few. And yet people are understanding now that they can do that. They can publish a book. They can get their message out to the world. And each of us have amazing stories. And one of the things, it's interesting, I'm often a guest speaker, especially for writing groups. And my mind just kind of like, what? Because the question is, who would want to read my story? And why would I want to put it out there? Because many times they're using writing as a healing mechanism. And truly, writing is an amazing way to really come to peace with things that have happened in our lives. And it was that way for me. It just really puts things in perspective. But I asked the question, who are you not to share your story? Because if there was only one that heard your message and it transformed their lives, isn't that amazing? And isn't that worth it? But if we do it right, it'll be the many, many ones that will hear the story and be transformed. And so when you look at it that way, and so I developed let's go deeper as to why we would want to share our stories and our wisdom. And many of us are actually doing business. Our source of income comes from our life experiences that led us to the work we do in the world today. So if you think about it, I always call it the four pillars of storytelling, because storytelling really brings us closer to each other. Storytelling's been with us from the beginning of time. And yet there's many times today that I say, are we telling our stories? Are we sharing even with our own family? Because you go to a restaurant and you see a family sitting around the table and every one of them is on their device. They're not talking to each other. And if we're not using storytelling to really connect the heart, I had a really sweet gentleman. He's a financial planner and he wrote this book and he sent it to me and he's ready. Oh, I'm going to publish. And I read it and I was like, oh my goodness.
No.
Because there was no story, it was all facts and figures. And I sent it back to him and I says, we have to add story because I would never read a book like this. And if you can add the stories, and he just balked at that for a long time, and finally he did. And when he did, it changed that book. And he still comes back to me and says, thank you for doing that. Because he wove storytelling into understanding financial planning and financial sense. And when he did that, he used a lot of examples of his single mom who raised him and what he learned from her. And when you do that, then that's what pulls us in. So no matter what our subject matter, we still have to become storytelling because nobody wants to read a book full of facts and figures. Nobody wants to hear, this is how you do it, this is what we do, without the why and the depth behind it. But when you think about storytelling used as a way to teach, then you realize as you put that story out, you become an advocate for those who maybe didn't know there was another way. You become a truth teller. You shed the light of truth on a subject matter by going into depth as far as the real heart behind maybe your own life's journey and the changes you've had to make. Unite people. When I first did my book, The Woman I Love, I started first to Facebook. Facebook was the way to do at that time for publishing. So I first started a Facebook page. And if they were deeply interested, then I started a Facebook group. And that group is still active today. And a lot of those women each wrote a chapter in a book, which gave them the courage to speak up and to move forward. And now many of them have written their own books, and many of them have moved on to have coaching businesses and amazing things that they're doing because of that first step of having the courage to speak up and speak their truth. You know, so it's amazing, you know, and oftentimes because of that, we show the way. And so there's a lot of depth that goes behind it. It isn't just, I'm going to publish a book just because it's available to me to do. There's a lot of tears oftentimes that goes into this process of bringing a book to the world if we're going to do it right.
Well, and a lot of the people that we're working with, these books have taken decades to come to fruition. So it's got to be a huge process. And do you ever talk to people about what happens after that? You know, it's such a big goal to complete. Sometimes I think we hold on to a big goal because we don't know what's on the other side of it. Like it becomes so familiar to have it incomplete. Have you ever had that kind of conversation?
Yes, yeah. I also talk about how writing a book is like having a baby. You know, it's like getting married, graduating, having a baby, but it's the long range look is what I try to really encourage. And yes, you're right, because these have become masterpieces in their own right. And there's a lot of fear for a lot of people to come to that place where that they're ready to share it with the world.
Yeah, the birth metaphor is so accurate. And I've found this for years now is that when people get to that point where, you know, they just want it to be done, they want to run through that such essential process of proofreading and making sure it's as good as it can be. You've come this far. Don't run away now. You know, I've talked people down like regularly at that point.
There's questions that they can ponder, like how would telling your story move and inspire others? What would sharing your story with the world do for you personally? How can you break free of the resistance of completing this whole process? How could you bless others by getting it accomplished? Who needs to hear your story? Really, who needs to hear so that they can be inspired to step up and learn a different way?
Stay
Right.
focused on your why. Yeah. Now you have a fifth pillar in those pillars, don't you?
Yes, I do. And that's becoming a legacy maker. You leave a legacy for yourself. When you pull this together, because long after we're gone, those books are going to carry on. They're going to be there. And even if it's found on somebody's bookshelf or somebody's yard sale, it could be that very book that just calls them when they pick it up and could transform their lives. And this is, I've heard this of happening so many times. You know, how many times have we watched a movie and something like that happened? This does happen. That's the way that our world works. If you think of yourself as if you're growing a following or a business, and you know, with a book, it is like a business, whether you have a business that's surrounding that book. Becoming an author, you want to attract people that could be united for a certain cause. And how could your role as an author do that? Could it be that you could attract the kind of people that you need in your circle by doing that? There's just so many different things to think about that, but I feel like every human alive has treasured gifts that the world's just waiting to experience. We each have incredible stories of life experiences, of what we learned from it, what we could have done differently, what we could have, all those things. But the wisdom that we've gained in the process We live in an amazing time that we have these tool sets available to us, because I think back to even the movie Little Women and all that she went through to get her book published and out to the world. We don't have to go through all that today. We still have to get it written. We still have to go through the editing process. We still have to do that, but lay the framework to make it have an impact.
Do you see an end in sight, or are you just going to publish for as long as you can, physically, mentally? Do you have other goals in your career, your life, Becky?
This year was probably my toughest year because I had so many clients this year. And I'd rather work with fewer and do a much more amazing job. I came at the end of this year being totally exhausted. So my goal is really to dive deeper into how do I serve them to where their published work goes on and really has impact. And a lot of that kind of centers around the marketing. And while I don't say that I'm a top-notch marketer, I know a lot of the key things that make it successful. And I'm always looking for how do you get an author on a podcast? How do you get them to start getting awards for their work? And there's so many sources. So I'd rather work with fewer clients, probably charge more through the process, but really see them set up for success.
Then you can really focus, yeah.
I loved every author that I worked with this year. That is not the thing, but there's so much work that goes into every book that the detail and the time and everything. I was working 7 days a week and long hours, and I still need to have a life too. In fact, a weekend ago, my husband and I went off away for the day, and I was like, whoa, this is pretty cool. We can actually get away. Wow. So I'd rather really work more in depth, making sure that they're really set up and they understand their process. Even the 10 by 10 is pretty amazing for them. Looking at the big picture, do you have a course that you can teach on the back end, even if it's just a simple online course? How many streams of revenue can you create from this, not having to recreate new material, but just making sure you make use of using the same information but being taught in different ways? Don't always search for something new. You've got your fingertips on amazing stuff right here. There's a lot to look at in that respect. And also, depending on the author, could they turn this into a revenue stream where other people are using the same material and begin teaching it too? So you have the licensing on that. So a lot of exploration and a lot of more setting them up so that they're ready to go out with it to the world and it's doing the work that it should be doing.
Yeah. Do you have one of the projects that stands out in a positive way, that stands out for some reason?
I do have a couple of authors that have just really, they've gotten one of them, he just did his third book with me. And to me, his books are a lot very similar, but every time he's constantly learning, constantly taking classes, and he's on weight loss. His book is very interesting. He started the I'm Thinning movement, and
Oh,
I
yeah.
just had lunch with him on Friday. He's had Jack Canfield and the gentleman that wrote Miracle Morning, but he's had really cool endorsements. He's found ways to get his book into corporations. He's had probably 30 awards by just submitting his book. Now he's got a course to go behind it. He's teaching, it's a mentoring coaching to help lose weight, but he does not believe in diets. It's lifestyle type changes, eating, using a salad plate instead of a dinner plate, simple things and positive affirmations throughout the day and eating slower. Smaller portions, all these things. It's just very sensible. But he had been told his doctor didn't want to work with him anymore. He had been told, I don't want to see you anymore. You don't lose weight. You're going to have a massive heart attack and you're not going to be here. And so go find another doctor. And he didn't want to do that. So he decided, okay, better get serious about this. And this summer, he climbed Kilimanjaro at 68 years old,
Wow.
So.
Nice example. I mean, I can really feel the momentum and the motivation, and that would give you so much reward as well, just seeing somebody really go for it with their ideas and innovation and marketing and promotion, right? Like not holding back or thinking it's not going to work. Like I don't hear any of that in what you just said. Like that sounds really, really positive. So if you're going to reduce the number of authors you work with in a year, like say in 2023, how are you going to choose?
See, I do an author discovery session, and I've also started before they can have a session with me. I ask a lot of key questions. I use that as the basis of our conversation, really to find out where do they want to go with this book, because I don't want them to spend a lot of money if they're never going to talk about their book again. Then that's where I ask the question. And I also ask the question, how much do they want to spend? This is an investment into their future as far as building a business.
Yeah.
And a book is an amazing calling card.
It is. Even if somebody doesn't read it, right?
Well, how many books I don't all the way read through, or I might pick up and read a chapter or two. I have a book right now that I have tons of books on my bookshelf everywhere, not just the ones I've published, but I've been wanting to learn BioTouch, and it's a really amazing healing method. And I picked up the book, and man, the person that wrote it did a fabulous job with storytelling. And that's why I will keep turning the pages. But this is holiday season. I might not pick up that book till sometime in January again.
Your colleague Everett O'Keefe has said that in his book is that even if somebody never reads your book, just the fact that they know that you've written one and published it
It's
gives you,
that perception.
yeah, it's that credibility. Like you said about all those people driving by, like on the freeway, like how many have published books. But you've also said thousands of books are being published. So somebody is doing that, and a lot of people haven't. And the people who haven't are still in awe of the people who have.
Yes, and back around to the subject of doing it yourself, you can spend so many hours and so much time trying to figure out how to do it yourself and miss some of the key, most important nuggets of what's supposed to be done, and spend so much time that it might be another 5 years before you get that book published, and then everything keeps changing. This is a changing world, and I'm in publishers' mastermind groups to try and stay abreast of it, and I still feel like I can't keep up. Our conversation the other day in my mastermind was the use of artificial intelligence. And now people are finding out that they can use artificial intelligence to write a book. Well, I don't like that because that doesn't show the storytelling and the heart and the soul behind it. But people are doing it. There's
Yeah.
so much that's available all the way around to that. But the tool sets, I have authors that use Zoom for teaching entire huge classes of people the content in their book. This is pretty amazing. If we had COVID happened 10, 12 years, 15 years ago, would we have been prepared to be able to keep on having connections with people? And here, look at what you and I are doing. You're many miles away from where I am, and we're sitting in front of each other in our living room because we can have these beautiful conversations. We are at a blessed time to have all of these tool sets and resources available to us.
Well, and it's weird because we're both sitting down all the time when we talk. I don't even know how tall you are. Like, we've never met in person.
I know. And I'm actually 5'8".
Hey, me too. That's amazing.
It's funny. It's just a whole different world.
Well, it is. I'm so happy that we finally are having a conversation to share with people because, and there's always more questions. I know that a lot of people wonder about the copyright and with artificial intelligence being able to like mimic somebody's writing and write another chapter of the book. I just heard Dr. Jordan Peterson say that AI did a sample next chapter of his book. And I mean, it sounded like him. Like, that's outrageous, right?
They're doing it with like book designs. AI is their people are using it to get their book designed. And you know how many people have spent how many years of training to learn to be an illustrator? And on our mastermind call the other day, they showed how you do that. I was like, yeah, but and they were gorgeous pictures. They were gorgeous pictures, but that's besides the point. There's just so much that it just boggles my mind. They said, write a press release on this subject. And the press release was magnificent. So I tried it on. I am publishing a doctor, amazing. She's an MD. We're publishing next month, but she is not a regular MD. She believes in art and hormone therapy, but bioidentical, natural, completely good. But she also believes in biotouch therapy and sensory therapy. And oh, I would love to have her as a doctor. And artwork, using art handiwork too, and all of these different things. So I put in sente therapy in the artificial intelligence, and it explained it better than she did.
Okay, so does that mean we're second class now? Suddenly I feel old school. Just even having this conversation, there's a different feeling about it. And I'm thinking about kids in school. Like,
That's what they said, is kids are doing their homework with artificial intelligence.
okay, but that doesn't even qualify as plagiarism. That's a new thing. That we need a new word for that.
I know. And it scares me because, I could ask my grandchildren a question, and before I knew about this, they would come back with answers. I homeschooled my children, so I'm very into them really understanding. And I always made my kids do the research. And, if we were going to study a subject on the human body, they had to draw the human body and put all the body parts in. But I asked my granddaughter the question, I can't remember right now because it's been about 4 or 5 years ago. She was like not even 10. And she went on YouTube and listened to a video and came back with a nice answer. I mean, a really good answer. I learned a lot from her answer, but I worry about our children, or how are they going to be equipped in a world.
And how are they going to value their own creativity if it's surpassed all the time?
I don't know. Our world is learning and growing every day, and I think that there's going to be something else that they're going to be needing to learn. I have to have faith in that, because these children, like I told one of my grandsons, I said, he hates being in a car, especially on long trips and stuff. And he's from a split family, so he has a lot of road time between going back and forth between parents, and he just gets so sick of it. And I says, well, but probably by the time you get all grown up, you're going to get in your vehicle and you're going to go straight up in the angle. And he's like, but Mimi, I don't even want to be in a car. Maybe you'll be teleported. And I understand, but our world is changing very quickly, but I have to have the faith that it's not all going to be for naught. There must be something amazing coming on, of a super intelligent people coming behind us, and those are our kids and grandkids.
Let's just keep focused on doing the best we can do as a editing and publishing team. And I'm just so pleased to share some of your insights and wisdom today. And in closing, would you have a brief idea of what living on purpose means to you, Becky Norwood?
Living on purpose means so much to me, because we can, and even part of our conversation today is what's next for us. And living on purpose is intentionally deciding for ourselves what it is we want to do and how we're going to accomplish that. And not just being a robot of sorts, not just working all the time, but living, how do we want to design our lives? And we can design our lives. It's just taking the time to stop long enough to figure out what that looks like and what it's going to be.
Yeah, thank you. And yeah, I think designing our lives is the key. I feel that strongly that each thought and feeling that we have is designing our future. We're creating it all the time.
And we can stop and listen. We can stop and write. We can stop and pay attention and not just work, go through life like a robot, and which is sometimes easy to do. I feel like I went through life like a robot this past year just because I got so busy. But on purpose, I want to create this next year. And it was a new experience for me to be that busy. So we learn what we want, we learn what we don't want.
Yeah, use the don't want as a springboard to
Right,
the.
right. It isn't that I don't want to work. I love to serve, and I love to be a part of knowing that I'm making a difference in the world. But I also have so much I want to do and explore otherwise,
I totally understand.
Well, I feel so honored for this interview. And I know we've been talking about it forever. And I this year was like, yeah, geez, maybe next week.
As soon as you said you were available today, I said, yes, let's do that. So that's great. Well, Becky Norwood of spotlightpublishinghouse.com. People can find out more about you there and schedule a call.
Awesome. All
All right.
right. Well, thank you and happy holidays.
Thank you very much, and you as well.